T-minus 93. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. We should be there, Clark McCarthy groaned, pacing the living room in helpless frustration. I should be guarding them and you should be guiding them. Emma, lounging on the couch, flicked her eyes downwards to the sleeping baby in her arms.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we have anything important to do here, right?
Clark sighed. Emma was right, and he had consciously opted to stay with her and Piper in the knowledge that Dan and Tara would be surrounded by the best security money could buy during their time in New York. This didn't fully settle his mind, though, because he knew that money couldn't buy everything. The betrayal that led to Tara's kidnapping at the hands of Jack Neal the previous year was never far from Clark's thoughts, while his own time spent in the murky world of VIP security work in Iraq had taught him that loyalty could often be outbid. Clark had seen plenty of men like himself willing to risk their life for money, but he was yet to see one willingly give it. Even the Secret Service agents permanently stationed in Birchwood didn't put him at sufficient ease to consider leaving his baby niece and astute sister-in-law alone, and this was why Tara and Dan's safety was currently out of his hands. They had Leisha, at least, the powerful messenger who Clark had once guarded and bonded with during the remarkable evening when Dan's temporary uplift powers had been revealed to a frightened public at Stevenson Farm. Clark was more than a little glad of that, particularly while the projector screen that filled the wall showed replay after replay of green paint flowing down an invisible angled force field. Without Leisha's intervention, that paint would have been all over Dan and Tara's undeserving heads, so Emma, too, was tremendously relieved that the alien was present. This was the first time Dan had been gone since Piper's birth. Such was the level of gridlock at the UN, and the several weeks' notice ahead of the ongoing summit had at least given Emma plenty of time to prep him on how to deal with the likely challenges of the day. Without doubt, his ability to deal with crowds and deliver important speeches had come on leaps and bounds since she was sent to Birchwood by her hawkish PR firm to win his business. The intervening years had seen their relationship change as much as the world around it, of course, and the character changes Emma could see in Dan were all for the better. Their family home was the one Emma had purchased when she left New York's PR world behind once and for all, and lay next door to the house where Dan and Clark grew up. Although Emma had taken the McCarthy name, the agents tasked with guarding the area typically spoke of this as the Ford McCarthy residence, distinguishing it from the original McCarthy residence where Clark still lived with his father, Henry. Clark, Tara, and Henry sometimes spoke of it as Emma's place, simply because the McCarthy residence was so associated with Dan in their minds, but this didn't bother him in the slightest. Other than the living room, the rest of the house was currently empty and now sadly lacked the presence of old Rooster, the loyal dog Dan and Emma had rescued from Richard Walker's farmhouse after the man's sudden abduction. Rooster had been a good age even then, and his final days were far longer and more joyous than anyone could have expected at the time. While the end had been inevitably sad, everyone was grateful that Rooster had at least held on just long enough to see Piper come home. Not as if he knew, Emma insisted, but because he knew. A framed photo of Rooster guarding the baby's crib now had pride of place on the family's mantelpiece. This photo was currently joined by a happy half-birthday card Tara had given Piper around a month earlier, so excited to be an aunt that she was still inventing milestones whenever she could. Tara signed the card, Aunt Tara and Uncle Clark, referencing an ongoing relationship that had been slightly awkward for them to disclose at first, given that Dan and Emma's marriage had made them brother and sister-in-law. Their longevity as a couple surprised no one more than themselves, with a mostly stable year breaking each of their previous records by several months. To outside observers, their pairing made more sense than Emma and Dan's, what with the huskily built former soldier and the 10 years younger former fashionista fitting a clearer mold than the awkward UFO enthusiast and the 9 years older PR supremo. To their close friends and family, however, the fact that Tara and Clark had made it this far without their apparently fire and gasoline personalities combusting into chaos was a welcome surprise.
Oh, here she comes, Emma said as Piper began to stir. She sat up straight and gently rocked the baby, but nap time was clearly over.
Clark covered his face with his hands and called Piper's name, trying to make her giggle before she could find a reason to cry. It worked,
but he only held her focus for a few seconds.
Dada,
Piper called, her eyes drawn to the image of Dan on the wall-filling screen behind Clark.
Tata,
she merrily added a few seconds later when Tara appeared too. Somewhat unusually, but not quite remarkably, Piper was already able to make distinct sounds for the four main carers in her life. In the past week, she had begun to clearly say Kaka for Clark and Tata for Tara, on top of the more typical Mama and Dada she had mastered shortly beforehand.
That's right, Emma said proudly. Dada and Aunt Tara.
And who's this with Piper? Clark asked, stepping towards the photo of her with Rooster.
Oos,
Piper beamed, uttering a sound somewhere between rooster and woof, but certainly doing so intentionally.
When did you learn that one?
Emma asked, rubbing Piper's nose to make her giggle again. Piper then reached out for the photograph, which was around 5 meters out of reach, opening and closing her hands. You want to see Rooster? Clark asked, moving towards it. But before his hand got there, the frame toppled over. Thinking its balance must have been unsteady and that his heavy steps had somehow tipped it, Clark reached to pick it up. Once again, however, he was too slow. This time, the frame, perfectly balanced on its front, suddenly slid off the mantelpiece and crashed to the ground. The glass front smashed, leaving dozens of shards on the floor. Clark turned around in shock and found Emma looking at him with a similarly perplexed expression. But when his eyes fell upon Piper, shock turned to horror. While she was still reaching for the photo and her hands were still opening and closing seemingly instinctively, Clark saw that the baby's middle fingers were making frequent contact with her thumbs and that her index fingers were, deliberately or otherwise, pointing towards the frame. As the screen behind Clark showed hundreds of alien-wary protesters raising their hands in the finger position that enabled telepathic and telekinetic abilities in those endowed with the power, there was no longer any doubt in his or Emma's mind. The photo frame hadn't fallen. Piper had moved it.